So let's talk about sustainability and why it matters. I can say why it matters in the first slide I'm going to put up in a moment, but why it matters and then talking about how to achieve it, which is certainly the bigger issue. So there's lots of ideas and opinions about what sustainability means. And to me, I can be kind of simple-minded sometimes, but for me, sustainability just means it's the ability for you to keep fulfilling your mission for as long as you wish. You can just keep on keeping on. And I think that's truly a leadership responsibility. It's one of the major leadership responsibilities. And in leadership, we'll talk about that in just a moment longer, but I want to put sustainability into a context. And almost all of you have seen this strategic planning model at one time or another. We did a whole two-day workshop on strategic planning, and which we had 35 or 40 people together for that. But I just want to use this for context, that certainly organizations begin with vision and mission and typically move into strategic goals and annual objectives and then action plans so that the efforts within the organization are all of a piece. They're all coordinating for the same goals. And when I used to do this, I don't work with private enterprise anymore, but when I used to do this with businesses, we never worried about success measures because that was really easy. The success measure was, are you making any money or not? But when we're thinking about our NGOs and all of the ones that you guys are running, you think of it like a business. If we're putting all the resources into our business, it's easy. I just go look on the other side and I see how much money's coming back out. And if it's more than what I put in, I'm making a good business. But here we put all the same resources. We put funding and staff and rent and utilities and travel and teaching and all the work that you do. And I look back out the other side, nothing coming out. Well, there's no money coming out, but certainly something's coming out that's more valuable than all the money we put in. So we need to be thinking about our success measures, especially when we run an NGO. And it's right about in that part of the conversation with success measures and setting our three-year strategic goals that we need to be thinking more and more and more about sustainability and how, as leaders, we build that into the way we operate day to day. And so most of you have seen this before also, that we find in our studies and working with lots of NGOs that sustainability, first thing we always think about is money. Okay, if I just never have enough money to do what it is we want to do. And donor money is so hard to come by. But I've seen people with lots of money do stupid things. That money is certainly essential for your sustainability, but it's not the whole picture. That to be long-term sustainable, we need resources, financial resources, but we also need good leadership resources, and we need good talent within the organization to serve our constituencies. And so I just want to talk briefly about each of these legs, and then we'll talk about how we put them together. And I'll try to get this wrapped up in another 20 minutes or so. So we'll have lots of time for some open discussion. So let's talk financial first. And we find that there are three facets of financial sustainability, but it really comes from three different sources. Either we get funding from donors, And that can be donors, it can be grants, it can be government grants, private grants, but it's still money that we ask other people for, begging, if you will, and they give us money. Community support is a different source of support. Sometimes it's money, but sometimes that support is invaluable to continuing on with your mission. You all in this group have some really, really vivid examples of how you've been able to enlist your community into supporting your work. And it's a great example of helping people help themselves. And Leng Seng, you've done some good work in this area. Tai Sen, I know you have. And Fiona, you've done it with Free to Shine, and I don't mean to leave anybody out, but you've all been doing better and better work on community support. And a third source of money that we get involved with you on also is money you earn from social enterprise. And over the years, we've seen some pretty successful social enterprises earn some money that you can use to fund your operations. It's just that much money that you don't need to get from donors. So the funding from donors, and again, we've spent the better part of a day on this in our workshops, and have even had several of you help me present your own experiences on getting money from donors. But it's about building your network and finding ways to reach out farther and farther and contact more people. I call it the care and feeding of donors, because we all know that getting a new donor is about 8 to 10 times harder than keeping an existing donor. So when somebody finally gives you a donation, then we do care and feeding of donors. And Tai Sen, you did a great little presentation in our workshop on care and feeding of donors and had some good examples and some vivid examples for people. And lastly, and it was on that list of positive thinking and local fundraising and donations on that list that you asked to hear something about. And it's just, don't be shy about asking. And I know that I suffer from that sometimes, and I just have to remind myself that when we beg to serve others, there's no shame in doing that. Some people feel shame if they're begging to feed their family; they'll feel some shame. But we're not we're begging to help other people, so we just need to stand tall, be proud, know that we're doing the good work, and don't be shy. Don't apologize. We're doing this to help other people. Going fast, I know. There was a one-day workshop right there. Community support is really about building engagement with your community so that they understand who you are and how you're trying to help them. And once again, finding some involvement so that they can meet their own needs. Again, help, if we can find ways so that they can understand that they're helping themselves, helping these people, helping our villagers to help themselves. And again, you guys have got some great stories already where you've been doing this. But a clear focus on listening to the needs of the village and then responding to those needs, and finding ways that they can have a little skin in the game and that they can contribute something, whether it's some labor or some rice for feeding kids, or if it's a microloan, and I know several of you do that, they can pay the microloan back with a little bit of extra that can go right back into the community and the people get engaged. So that second part of financial sustainability is not only asking donors for money, but also getting the community engaged to help you as well. And then money you earn, we've talked about this. We've done some workshops on this, but in the simplest possible terms, if you can find an unmet need in the community, where the community needs something, and create a business plan that makes economic sense, not just from your heart, but you have to think like a business person for this, and doesn't detract you from your mission. You know, we can't get so busy running this business trying to make money that you don't take care of your community. That we funded a number of those. So far, some of our best examples are in Myanmar. Tragic what's happening there now, but we still have monks that are doing in the rice harvesting business and are making money and running their boarding schools and doing quite well with that. And so we remain, Peter and I and Mizuki and our foundation, we remain always open to good social enterprise opportunities to help you meet the meet your own funding needs. And we always said we need a business plan. Again, many of you heard this before, but just to give you the quick overview, because you can go on the internet, Google business plans, and oh my gosh, you'll find these things that look like they came out of the Harvard Business School. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. Tell us the story in half a page. Just tell us, what's the need? How do you meet it in your community? And why do you think you can make money doing that? Tell me the story. And don't tell me in four pages. Tell me in one or two paragraphs on a half a page. And the second is that perhaps even the most important is because we're great advocates for leadership. We think it's critical. Who's going to lead this organization? Is it you? Is it one of the people on your staff? Is it somebody you're going to hire? But who is it that really understands this business you want to start? Bring some experience, bring some commitment and dedication, and will not let it fail. Someone who's got their heart as well as their head into the business. The third, startup budget. How much money do you need to get you started before you make any money, before you take in your first customer, before you make your first sale? And then there's an operating budget. Just show me for the first year how much revenue and how much expenses, just a simple profit and loss projection. What's your good faith estimate of what you're going to do month by month for the first year? Show me a second year if you want to. And then lastly, show me a SWOT analysis. Everybody knows what a SWOT analysis is: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And that tells me whether you're really thinking about this business. Because I've been around business for a few years, and so we can look at that SWOT analysis and either say, yeah, they're really thinking about this, or we can ask you some questions. And I was having a conversation with one of your group members just a couple of days ago. It's not just about making the SWOT analysis. That's a good start. What do you see as your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats? But the rest of it is, so what are you going to do about those strengths and weaknesses and opportunities and threats? Because when we have strengths and we have opportunities, it's like being on the football pitch and we got the ball. So we're going to play offense. We're going to really take advantage of our strengths and our opportunities. But when we identify real, legitimate weaknesses and threats, the other guy's got the ball and they're coming at us. And we want to figure out how do we stop them from scoring goal. So very quickly, that's how the business plan works. And then so the financial was really a matter of donor money, community support, sometimes money, sometimes other things, and money that you might earn for yourself. We also see three really important facets to leadership as well. And when we're working in an organization, we think deeply with them about these three facets of leadership. And one of them, which I'll talk about a little bit today, is basic skills. They're just some basic fundamental skills that a leader needs to know how to do. And there's another level of leadership, which I see developing within this group. And it's about building connections and building liaisons and building coalitions to work together on common problems. And I believe we did another whole two-day workshop on building these connections, and that's where we brought in brilliant professor from California, who actually had a little video for you on building these deeper connections. And lastly, when we think about leadership, it's not just about the skills, and it's beyond building the connections and the coalitions, but how do we take care of the inner leader? How do we take care of the leader so that person doesn't just burn out after 3 or 4 years? And if you didn't feel overwhelmed and exhausted at sometimes from all the demands put on you as leaders of your organizations, I'd question whether you're really human. And so in terms of sustainability, on the leadership pillar, we need good skills. Then we need a leader who can reach out and work in a much larger environment than just his or her own organization. And then we want to make sure that we keep the flame burning, that the inner fire doesn't burn out. And all of those things need to be considered when we're thinking about how do we keep our organization sustainable. And Peter, I borrowed a couple slides from something Peter did with you all a couple of years ago. And these basic skills, and I'm just going to touch on them. I just wanted the words in the slides so that when you have them for future reference, you can look back. And Bill said basic skills, but what did he really mean? Well, and this is Peter's definition, and I really like it. We create an environment that facilitates the accomplishment of our organizational goals. So what does a leader actually do to create that environment? And I promised you quick, but you remember back to the strategic planning model, that leaders insist on clarity about the vision and the mission and the clear goals for the organization. It's a business plan. Success measures would be another word we could use there, another phrase. And effective leaders communicate really well. The regular meetings and shared information and asking for ideas, particularly ideas that support the clear and commonly agreed upon goals. And they know how to engage employees. Coaching people for success and growth and further development, and setting clear goals for each team member, including holding people accountable for doing what they said they would do. and recognizing and celebrating individual contributions and keeping a really positive environment of finding ways we always show respect and always treat our people with dignity. And I said, that's very quick. Peter does a really nice half day on those four slides, but that is the essence of what leaders do on a day to day. And I have worked with enough of you for enough time that when I visit your organizations, I see these skills in action. And it's always a pleasure to see them. And sometimes we have conversations about how to improve skills in one or more of these topics. So we talked briefly about financial sustainability, leadership, and I want to say just a little bit about talent. Because you could have a bunch of money and you could be Tai San at the head of Human and Hope, or you could be Vantat at the head of Women's Resource Center, or you could be Kontia at Jaywalk, or any number of you people. And you ain't going to get it done if you don't have some really good people. And so this is the third strong pillar of becoming a sustainable organization. And we don't get that by just bossing people around and telling them what to do. So back to that effective leaders, and how does an effective leader engage the staff? And I've just got one slide on it, and it sounds so simple, it isn't. But the first thought is everybody should have meaningful work. And when we're doing our strategic planning process, if everybody understands what the goals of the organization are, why our mission is so critically important, and how their work fits into that, and that we wouldn't be getting it done if it weren't for them, that then we get people fully engaged in work to them that is meaningful. And they may be doing a relatively minor task, or they may be part-time, or they may be a volunteer, or they may be new with the organization. But when we can engage their brain and their heart as well as their body, then they'll get hooked on the mission and become engaged. And we all know that productivity doesn't go up 10 or 20% when people get engaged and really excited about what they're doing. It goes up 100% or 200%. And so that's a powerful facet of being a good leader. And hand in hand with that is develop, train, coach, help them improve, help them see their own future, whether they stay with you long term or move on to bigger and better things. Having zero turnover is not the goal. We want to see our people grow, and some of them will grow within our organization. I'm thinking of people like Ty, who grew into his role as executive director at Human and Hope, and Kontia, newly promoted, but she grew into that. And I think that the way that that you were coached and developed, you don't have to answer me now, Kontia, but I think the way that Neith groomed you for this job has helped you grow. And I think your sidekick, Acacia, could say the same thing, that it's about leadership built to talent. And one of the things that we do as a foundation for that talent and supporting all of your organizations is we offer scholarships, university scholarships, which we pay in advance all 4 years up front. And we just did some with Pepe and several other organizations here. And each of those scholarships, more girls than boys, each of those scholarship students then owes you the sponsoring organization 2,000 hours of volunteer service to pay back for their scholarship. And so there we have it. We have some well-trained, educated, dedicated people at no cost for a little while working within your organization. And some of them are going to be so wonderful that you're going to hire them. You're just developing your own staff, and we can help you do that by sponsoring scholarships. And can't do everybody, but we did do 17 scholarships this year. So we're proud of that. So the talent pillar, we think, is really important. And we use a metaphor in English about a three-legged stool. And so just a stool, you sit on a stool. It doesn't have four legs like a table. It has three legs. And it's a very sturdy platform. It's a tripod, like holds a camera, and hold a video camera. But if any one of those legs is weak, that three-legged stool falls over. And so when we think of these three pillars of sustainability, financial, leadership, and talent, they all got to be strong, because any one of them is enough to undermine the sustainability of your organization. And one last matter before I quit talking about this topic is scale. Scale matters, how big your organization is. And once again, in that same spot on the strategic planning model where we're thinking about sustainability, we also need to be thinking about scale. Scale means size. And so this is the best picture I could come up with this, and you haven't seen this before. I did not include this in the workshop we did on sustainability. But let's say in the middle, you've got the current situation right here, that you're feeling pretty good about it. You're feeling pretty good about we've got some good, solid donors, not bad financially. We're content with the way our team is developing, and our staff is developing nicely. Maybe we should grow. Maybe the mission stays the same, but instead of serving 50 village families, maybe we could grow to 75 village families next year. So, but when we think about should we grow, the finance will need to be stronger. The leadership may need to be stronger. The talent may need to be more and stronger. So just because we're really good right here doesn't necessarily mean we should grow up to this size without giving it some careful thought back when we're thinking at that level of our strategic planning. And likewise, if we're struggling, no matter what we do, we're just underfunded. And we every year we think our budget should be $85,000, but every year we're in it $55,000 or $60,000, and we're always falling short, frustrated, exhausted. Maybe to think about sustainability, maybe we ought to be just a little smaller. Maybe we need to just scale back a little bit. So I think that is another challenging issue for a leader to be thinking about. And so adjust the scale if necessary. Think about that. And I'll close where I began, is that leaders focus on sustainability and think holistically about what it takes for their organization to be sustainable, which in my simple definition means the ability to keep on fulfilling your mission indefinitely. So I think I started at 8 minutes after 10. It's now 39. It took me 31 minutes to do what I said I was going to do in 30 minutes. So that's close anyway.